Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey, North Point, thanks for joining us today as we continue our current series entitled Heaven Revealed. Heaven Revealed. In this series, what we're exploring is what does it look like when heaven comes to earth? What does it look like when we pray the Lord's Prayer and then He answers? Because Jesus told us to pray in Matthew chapter 6. He said, pray to the Father, said, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if Jesus told us to pray for it, He told us to ask for it, shouldn't we expect to see it? And so over the last few weeks, we've been looking at, well, what does it really look like? What does that look like practically when heaven comes to earth? And so we talked about how heaven comes to earth, and we said it comes through faith, and it comes through love, and through obedience, and through generosity. And today we're going to talk about heaven coming to earth through determination. Through determination, let me give you a quick definition for the word determination. It is firmness of purpose, resoluteness. That heaven would come to earth through a firmness of purpose, an unwillingness to be moved off of purpose, a resoluteness in the face of difficulty and adversity. And you see, it is this determination that we really grab one of our house habits here at North Point. Here at North Point, we have 12 house habits, and it's the first of our house habits, and it is that we live on. And really, this comes out of the idea that we live on through adversity. We live on through pain and through problems. We live on through trials and tragedy, that we don't quit. We don't give in and we don't give up. Instead, we choose to live on through it all. And we really take this principle out of Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And this is what it says. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Now, notice, you have to understand that you are going to get tired doing good. The scripture says, don't get tired of doing good. And here's the reason you're going to get tired doing good, because good work is hard work. Come on, somebody needs to say amen to that right there. Doing good work is hard work, and you will get tired. But even when you get tired, you cannot get tired of doing good. Because when you get tired of doing good, that's when you quit. And whenever you quit, that's whenever you give up the harvest of blessing that God wants to give you in your future. Let me just share a quick little lesson that I learned from the D's Family Garden. That's right. If you've been in our community for any length of time, you know that we have tried to grow a garden every year. Destiny tells the story so often that every year, she says that I am the most persistent gardener in Bossier City. And with that persistence, there's also been an unproductiveness as well, because out of all the years, the last 7 years of our garden, I think maybe we've gotten one little teeny tiny tomato, and that is the only thing that we've gotten out of our garden in 7 years until this year. Until this year, I decided to get involved with the garden. And when I say get involved, I decided that I was just going to water it every day. I was just going to go out there faithfully every day and water it. And you would be amazed. You would be amazed at what that garden produced just because I water. I'm talking about cucumbers and okra and watermelon. I mean, we got so much good stuff out of the garden this year just because I watered it. But I learned a lesson. I learned a lesson to it. One, if you water it, it helps, right? That's the first lesson. I learned another lesson, though. And that is that the harvest doesn't come at the same time, but over time. The harvest doesn't come at the same time, but over time. Not every cucumber was there at the same time. Not all the okra was there at the same time. Not every watermelon at the same time. No. The harvest didn't come at the same time. The harvest came over time. And what's true about the garden is also true about life, and it's true about the kingdom of God. There are moments when heaven is revealed on earth instantly, but heaven can also be revealed increasingly. There are moments when heaven is revealed instantly, but heaven can also be revealed increasingly. And your consistency is what leads to the increasingly. I want to say that again. It's your consistency that leads to the increasingly, not quitting, not giving in, not giving up. It's what leads to heaven invading earth. Now, the Apostle Paul, he's the one who wrote Galatians 6:9 that we read just a moment ago. He was a leader in the early church, and he loves this mental imagery of our life being a race. He loves it. He brings it up in several of the letters that he writes to churches, and we're going to take a look at some of the times that he actually compares life to a race. And here's what I'll tell you about a race is that a race takes determination. It doesn't matter if you're talking about getting off of your couch and running a 5K or if you're talking about training for a marathon, it takes determination. And just as the way a race takes determination, so life takes determination. So Paul connects the dots here and he begins to put this into his writing as he's writing to churches and as he's speaking, he's making these points. I love in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I love this in the Message paraphrase version. It says it so clearly. It says, "You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, but one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard." Now notice he says all good athletes, not all athletes train hard. Only the good athletes train hard. All the good athletes train hard. They do it for a medal that tarnishes and fades. But you're after one that's gold eternally. Saying that people that compete in worldly athletic events, they're going for a medal. They're going for a trophy. But the race that we are running is for an eternal prize. So he says, "Don't you know?" He says, "I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No lazy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself." So here we see he's saying, hey, don't you know? When people compete, when people run, they're running. And when they run, they're running to win. He's saying you should live your life the same way. You should train like they train. You should run how they run so that you might win this race that you are running in life. He says, "I don't know about you, but I am working hard. I am leaning in. I am going after this prize with everything in me. No laziness, no quitting, no giving up in me, because I want to receive that prize." Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he says, "My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." He says, "This is my only aim. This is my only aim. I want to run this race and I want to finish this task." In Philippians 3, he says, "I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize." Right before that, he says, "I forget those things that are behind me. I forget all of that that's back there. And I am pressing on. I am straining for. I am reaching towards the end of my race." The end of my race. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is writing to a spiritual son, Timothy. And he tells Timothy, he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. I fought the good fight and I finished my race. This is right getting very close to the end of Paul's life as he's writing here in 2 Timothy. He says, I have finished my race and I have remained faithful. He's saying, Timothy, this is how I did it. This is how I fought a good fight to the end. This is how I finished my race. I was faithful. I persevered. I endured. I had determination, firmness in purpose, resoluteness. I did not give in and I did not give up. Paul actually writes to the church in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 5, and this is what he says to them. He says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? He says, you were running a good race like me, but what happened? What happened? He says, don't let distraction or deception rob you of your determination. Paul said, I'm running my good race. I'm straining towards the end. I want to get that prize. This is my only aim. This is my task. Paul's running this race and he says, you are running well with me. But what happened to you? You're not running with me anymore. And it lets us know that there's distraction and deception that's trying to steal and rob us of the determination that will allow us to run this race and to run this race well. But Paul is not the only one. He's not the only one who connects the dots between life and a race. No, actually, the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. Let us run with endurance. Let us run with resoluteness. Let us run with determination the race God marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's saying, hey, this is what we need to do as we run this race that God has marked out for us to run. You need to know that there is a race that God has marked out for you to run. And if you are going to run that race well, what you're going to have to do is throw off those things that hinder you. You're going to have to avoid those things that are trying to entangle you and tie you up. And you're going to have to run with your eyes on Jesus because he is the one who started the good work in you. He's the one that has the power to finish that good work in you. And when we look at Jesus, not only does he do those things for us now by empowering us with his Spirit, but we are able to take encouragement from the life that he lived because he ran his race well all the way to the end. He endured the cross. He was scorning its shame. And now he is seated at the right hand of God. Jesus ran his race and he ran his race well. So when we talk about heaven being revealed, when we talk about the Lord's prayer of saying, let heaven come to earth so that your will can be done. Heaven can come to earth through a moment of faith. It can come to earth through a moment of obedience. It can come to earth through just one single act of love or one single act of generosity, or heaven can come through us running our race with determination every single day by simply not slowing down or getting entangled in sin, by us not quitting, by us not disqualifying ourselves from the poor choices that we could make. No, just deciding that I'm going to run every day with greater determination than I had yesterday. I'm going to run tomorrow with greater resoluteness and more firmness of purpose tomorrow than I have ever run in my life. And it is that running every single day with determination that begins to open the portal of heaven so that heaven can come to earth, not just in a moment, but that heaven can come to earth through the life that we are continually living. You see, let me just share with you today a few ways to keep your determination Because remember what Paul wrote to the church in Galatians. He says, hey, you were running good. Now where are you? I'm looking around. You were running right here with me. And now you're nowhere to be found. What happened? How do we keep our determination? Let me just give you a few things to think about today. The first way you can keep your determination is through anticipation. Anticipation, right? In Galatians 6, what we read a little bit earlier, he says, there is a harvest of blessing if you do not give up. There is a harvest, there is, not could be, not might be, there is a harvest of blessing for those who run their race well and do not give up. In 1 Corinthians 9, we read a moment ago, Paul says, run to win. Don't just run. Don't just go through the motions. Don't be like an average athlete. Be the good athlete. Train to win. Work hard. Train yourself in order to win. It's the anticipation, right? So this is what I would say to you today is that if you don't anticipate winning, then you won't be as determined as you need to be in order to win. I'm going to say that to you again. If you don't anticipate winning, then you won't be as determined as you need to be in order to win. Why? Because winning takes an immense amount of determination. Now, let's don't say winning because you feel like it's like me against you and it's, you know, there's a winner, there's a loser. Okay, let's get away from that energy for just a moment. And let's don't say winning. Let's talk about success. Let's talk about success because whenever you define success, success is defined as the accomplishment of an aim or purpose, an accomplishment of an aim or purpose. And if you don't anticipate arriving at that purpose, if you don't anticipate arriving at that aim, if you don't anticipate arriving at that goal, then you probably won't. If you don't anticipate arriving there, then you probably won't arrive there. Henry Ford said it this way, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Think about that for a moment. Whether you think you can, you're right. Whether you think you can't, you're right. It's all about what you are expecting and what you are anticipating. Now, here's the cool thing is that everyone watching right now, everyone can win. Every single one can have success because everyone can accomplish the aim and the purpose that God has marked out for you. Everyone can accomplish the goal of running and finishing the race that God has laid before us. And here's one way that we can do that is that you can give more attention to the outcomes you desire than you do the events that have transpired. Give more attention to the outcomes you desire in the future more than you do the events that have transpired in the past. Now, why is that so important by giving your attention? Because I say all the time that your attitude follows your attention. And so if my attention is on the things in the past, then my attitude is always going to gravitate back toward that. So if I cannot see past the hurt in my past and I cannot see the hope that is in my future, then my attitude is always going to flow towards the pain and not towards the possibilities. If I can't see beyond in what is out there in the future and all I see, my attention and my focus is on the past, on the pain, on the hurt, on the misfortune, on whatever it is, then my attitude is always going to lean in that direction. So what I have to begin to do is to begin to shift myself so that I begin to anticipate the good things that God has in store for my future. That's why we close out every service here at North Point in person, and we close that out as a church, and we shout, the best is yet to come, because that's what we want to leave this place every week, anticipating that the best that God has is waiting for me. Now, whenever we can't anticipate that, when we're not expecting that, when we're not thinking that way, then our mind drifts. Our focus drifts, our attention drifts back to all the things, all of the regrets, all of the shame, all of the bad breaks, all of the things in our past, and our attitude begins to move us in that direction. And we all know that your attitude determines your altitude. You'll never go to the level that you want to go to if your attitude can't take you there first. But attitude always starts with my attention. So I've got to get my attention on what I'm anticipating in my future, the hope, the possibility that is there. And so what we find in life is that people make emotional choices based off of past events instead of transformational choices based off of desired future outcomes. People make emotional choices based off of the pain of past events instead of making transformational choices based off of their desired future outcomes. So many times what happens is that people don't move into everything that God has, one, because they don't, either they're not anticipating success or they don't believe that they can win. So if you want to have the determination that it takes to cross that finish line to accomplish that goal, if you want to have the determination to break that tape, if you would, and finish in first place to win, to have victory, if you want to do it, then you've got to anticipate it. You've got to expect it. You've got to see that happening. And that doesn't happen if all we do is focus on the things that went wrong in our past. No, we have to see it. We have to believe it. We have to anticipate it and know that God wants us to win and God will empower us on that journey. Here's the second thing. If you are going to run and keep your determination, there's got to be a declaration. There's got to be a declaration, not just anticipation, but declaration. And declaration is simply this. It's you talking to yourself. Now, some people would say, you're crazy if you talk to yourself. I tell you, you're crazy if you don't talk to yourself. You need to be talking to yourself. Now, also, you need to do less listening to yourself and more talking to yourself. You need to do less listening to yourself because if you're just casually listening to yourself, the things that you are telling yourself is not what you need to be telling yourself. And you need to be doing more intentional talking to yourself because when you just listen to yourself, it sounds like this. Well, you can't do that. Who do you think you are? You're not qualified. You will certainly fail. And this is why we need to be intentionally talking to ourselves and declaring truth over ourselves. We need to declare truth about ourselves. We need to declare truth about God. We need to declare truth about possibilities. We need to be declaring this every single day because the Bible says in Proverbs 18 that words kill or words give life. They're either poison or fruit, and you get to choose. It's poison or fruit, and you get to choose the words that you speak over your life. So that's why every single Sunday in person right here at North Point Community Church, we say our declaration. We put our hand over our heart because that's where that declaration comes from, and we say, I am a child of God. I am a child of God, and that reminds me that I have a Father in heaven, and he knows how to give good gifts to his sons. He knows how to give good gifts to his daughters. And since I'm a child of God, I'm an heir to everything that God has. And it's his good pleasure to give me the kingdom because I'm a child of God. And that's where we start with our declaration, but we don't stop there. We continue on and we say, I am loved, adored, and accepted. That we start right there because I'm not working for acceptance. I'm not performing for acceptance. I don't have to do a good job so he will love me. I don't have to do a good job so my Father will accept me. I don't have to do a good job to get his approval. I already have his approval. I have his love. He loves me and I've been accepted by him. And that's where we start. I am a child of God. I am loved, adored, and accepted by my Father in heaven. And then we go on and we say, I am forgiven and free. Sin has no hold on me. I am free. I've been forgiven of my sins. I'm not carrying any guilt. I'm not carrying any shame. I'm not carrying any condemnation with me into my future. It has all been forgiven, and I have been set free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Sin has no hold on me because Jesus broke the power of sin off of my life, and I got in agreement with what the Spirit of God has done. So sin doesn't have a hold on me anymore. And then we just continue, and we say, I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. I am full of the Spirit of God, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are declaring this is who we are. I don't even know what it means to be more than a conqueror. I thought if you were the conqueror, then that's as good as it can be, but you're more than a conqueror. Come on, that's the overflow. I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. I am full of the Spirit of God. I am declaring God's word and his truth over my life. You see, this is why the daily declaration is so important, because a daily declaration is like a determination injection. I mean, it's like it's a determination injection in your life when you declare every single day. And now, if you've been in our community, you've heard us talk about declarations a lot. We say that declaration all the time, and we give out magnets. If you come as a first-time guest here, you're going to get a magnet with this declaration on it, and people say this every day. I hope you say this every single day. I hope this isn't a Sunday thing for you that you say the declaration. I hope every single day you are declaring God's truth about you, that you are declaring God's truth about who he says he is, about what he wants to do in your life, and about the possibilities that are in your future. I hope that you are declaring that, because you need an injection of determination in your life, because the declaration, it just reminds me of who I am and whose I am. It refocuses me on where I am headed and what is possible. That declaration, it refuels me to continue to anticipate success and victory. And we have to use the words of our mouth to declare who we are and the direction that our life is going. Here, let me give you one more that will help you and keep that determination. Here's the third one. It's participation. Participation. It's easier to keep your determination when you are running with other people towards the same destination. It's easier to keep your determination when you are running with other people towards the same destination. Now, if you've ever worked out before, you've ever worked out by yourself, and you've ever worked out with a partner or with a group, you know this to be true, right? You will push yourself so much harder when you are working out with a group of people than you will whenever you are by yourself. You can do so much more than you think you can when you partner up with somebody else. And this is why there's got to be participation in our faith journey, in our faith race, if you would. That's why showing up to church is so vitally important, because you don't need to do this alone. You need to show up in a community of believers. Joining one of our groups, it's so important, because you start doing life with other people. Serving on one of our teams, whether you serve during the week with our staff, or whether you serve on a weekend with kids or with babies or with a greet team or with all the other things that are happening here on Sunday. It's the participation. People are running in the same direction. They're running for the prize. They're running for success. They're running to win. They are running their life. And you can join in and participate with people, and you can run with them towards the exact same goal. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This is the early church right here. Jesus has just ascended into heaven. It says all the believers, they're devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. I want you to see this is the early church right here coming into its own. And this is what it looked like. It looked like them coming together to pray, coming together to study the Bible and hear the apostles' teaching. But in the apostles' teaching then, it's the Bible now. It looks like them coming together for fellowship, just for friendship, just for relationship and them coming together and eating together and the Lord's Supper, taking communion together. Now, why did they do that? Because we're better together. You were not created and designed by God to do life alone. You were created and designed by God to do life in His body, with His people. We were created for community. And that's why we say here at North Point, when we say our mission every Sunday, we are creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. It's community. It's us doing this together because we are better together. And in Acts chapter 2, they knew they needed each other. They needed each other, so they were constantly coming together to study, to pray, for fellowship, laughing together, enjoying life together, having meals together, taking the Lord's communion together. They were always coming together because determination is so much harder to have in isolation. Determination is so much harder to have in isolation. Now, I get all of the excuses. Well, I just really don't like people that much. I'm a high introvert. I feel uncomfortable. There's so much uncertainty whenever you get around other people. I understand all of that, but I want you to hear me clearly. I understand the excuses. I understand where you may be coming from, but I also understand that if you lose your determination, you will not arrive at your desired destination. If you lose your determination on this journey, and we've already said it's easier to lose determination in isolation. So if you lose your determination, I know you will not arrive at your finish line. You will not arrive at your desired destination. You will not arrive at that aim, that purpose, that goal that you are trying to accomplish, that place of success and win. You will not arrive there. And so it really comes down to a choice. You get to choose. Is it going to be isolation or is it going to be your destination? Because you need participation along this journey. You need participation to keep you in determination, because when other people are running beside you, it's easier for you to run well too. And the early church discovered that. And we can't get away. We can't get away from that just because we say, oh, well, hey, it's 2021 right now. It doesn't matter what time it is. We were created for a relationship. We were created to be together. Why? Because God created us to be better together. So if we want the best out of our life, we've got to begin to run this race with each other. Participation. Now, the last thing that I'll share with you, if you want to keep that determination, and that is actually mentioned there in Acts 2:42, and that is communion. 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 Coming together with other believers and remembering the price that Jesus paid. Remembering the price that Jesus paid for your sins. Remembering the price that Jesus paid so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be free, so that you could be in the family of God, so that you could be more than a conqueror, so that you could be an overcomer, so that His strength would be available to you. Remembering the price that Jesus paid. Remembering the price that that Jesus paid, it will help you whenever your race gets tough. It will help you in those difficult moments. It'll help you in those dark days. As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 12, We read verse 1 and 2 a moment ago about keeping your eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of your faith. And then verse 3, it says this: think of all the hostility Jesus endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. So he says, hey, remember, the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, remember what Jesus went through. Think about the hostility. Think about the insults. Think about the pain. Think about the cost. Think about what He went through. Then you won't grow weary and you won't give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. He says, think about all that Jesus went through, and ultimately, giving His life so that you could be forgiven of your sin. And you have not given your life yet, so it's not that bad yet. So he says, remember Him. remember him. And that's what communion is all about. And maybe even right after this, and you want to turn this off in just a moment after we wrap up and give our lead, and maybe right there in your home or wherever you're watching, you just want to take communion, grab a piece of bread, grab some water or some juice, and just take communion. Remember the Lord's body that was broken for you. Remember his blood that was shed for the forgiveness of your sins. And as you take communion, you will find the determination that you need to keep on pressing on. Well, you know, we're closing all of our Sunday services this year with a lead acrostic because we want to lead ourselves well in 2021. And we say, well, how do you do that? Well, we're learning, we're evaluating, we're applying, and then we're just doing it again. So what did we learn today? What is our takeaway? And it is this, that heaven is revealed through how well I run my race over time. Heaven is revealed in how well I run my race over time. Does heaven show up in moments? Yeah, we've talked about that. That's been all the last few weeks, in moments of love and generosity and obedience and faith. Heaven can, boom, bust through in any moment, but heaven is also revealed over time, over the consistency of my life, which takes us to the evaluation. Are you running your race in such a way that this earth will see more of heaven shining through you in the future? Are you running your race today in a way that will bring more heaven tomorrow? Or have you allowed yourself, maybe like the Galatia, of the church in Galatia, where Paul said, he says, why did you stop running? What happened to you? Where did you go? Maybe you've gotten distracted. Maybe you've gotten discouraged. Maybe you have found yourself in a detour and you are kind of doing things your own way. Maybe today you just need to say, you know what? That's really where I'm at right now. I am distracted. I have taken a detour. Maybe there's been some deception through all of the things that are going on in your personal life and in the world. And man, you're just like, oh man, it's just like you've been in a brain fog. And it's like right now you're kind of coming out of that and you're going, oh man, I'm not running the race the way that I really want to run my race. I'm really not running to win. I'm not running to win. Well, what do I need to do? Well, just go right to our apply. What do you need to do? You need to start anticipate winning. That's what you need to do. You need to anticipate winning. You need to declare truth and you need to participate together. You need to anticipate winning. Get your eyes off of whatever is behind you, the pain of your past, the detour that you've been on, the discouragement that there. Get your eyes off of that and get your eyes on the victory that God has for you in your future. And then you begin to declare truth. It's going to push you towards that victory. Begin to declare the truth of God's word. Begin to declare the truth of our declaration here. Begin to declare other truths over your life. And then participate together. Get with other people who are wanting to run this race and they are wanting to win. They are wanting success. They are wanting to arrive at this aim or this goal of receiving this prize. That's what they want. Then partner up with them and say, let's run this race together because we are better together. And then finally, the D is always the same. You just do it again. You just do it again. And you just keep day after day after day. More determination tomorrow than I have today. More determination next week. More firmness of purpose next month. More resoluteness next year. And I'm just going to keep on moving in determination. And if I will live that way, then I will see the door of heaven beginning to open up. And heaven will come to earth because of the way that I am choosing to run my race. My consistency is the key to my increasingly. I want to increase heaven coming to earth. It's going to take consistency in running our race well. Can I pray for you today? Father, thank you for each and every person that's watching right now. God, I pray that we would make a decision, that we would say, I want to run well. I want to be like the Apostle Paul. I want to run hard to the end of my race that I might win that heavenly prize. I want to run that race and finish that task of doing the thing that God has asked me to do. I want to run the race that God has marked out for me. I want to throw off those things that are hindering me and that sin that's trying to entangle me and hold me back. I want to run with a good stride and a good pace in the direction towards my victory. That's what I want in my life. I want to run to win. If that's you today, you say, Philip, that's me. I want to run well. I want to run my race with determination. If that's you, just tell God right now, right there where you are, whether you're laying in bed, whether you're sitting at a table, just tell God right now, say, God, that's me. God, that's me. That's what I want. I want to run my race well. Father, for each and every person that says yes to that, God, I pray that you would empower them, that you would equip them, and God, that you would prepare them for this race that you have called them to run, this race that you have marked out for them. And God, I declare, God, that they will finish that race, that they will break that tape, that they will come across that finish line, and they will experience the success that you have for them in this life and in all of eternity. We thank you for it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, I just want to say thank you so much for watching today. Make sure you come back next week. Pastor Destiny is going to be preaching, and you don't want to miss this next part of our Heaven Revealed series. And whatever you do this week, let's bring heaven to earth. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.